which was cut all wrong. No, not the grass. The salesman lifted his gaze. But two boys, far up the gentle slope lying on the grass. Of a like size and general shape, the boys sat carving twig whistles, talking of olden or future times, content with having left their fingerprints on every movable object in Greentown during summer past, and their footprints on every open path between here and the lake, and there and the river since school began. "Howdy, boys," called the man all dressed in storm-colored clothes. "Folks home?" The boys shook their heads. "Got any money yourselves?" The boys shook their heads. "Well..." The salesman walked about 3 feet, stopped and hunched his shoulders. Suddenly he seemed aware of house windows or the cold sky staring at his neck. He turned slowly, sniffing the air. Wind rattled the empty trees. Sunlight, breaking through a small rift in the clouds, minted a last few oak leaves all gold. But the sun vanished, the coins were spent, the air blew gray. The salesman shook himself from the spell. The salesman edged slowly up the lawn. "Boy," he said, "what's your name?" And the first boy, with hair as blonde-white as milk thistle, shut up one eye, tilted his head, and looked at the salesman with a single eye, as open, bright, and clear as a drop of summer rain. "Will," he said. "William Halloway." The storm gentleman turned. "And you?" The second boy didn't move, but lay stomach down on the autumn grass, debating as if he might make up a name. His hair was wild, thick, and the glossy color of wax chestnuts. His eyes, fixed to some distant point within himself, were mint, rock-crystal green. At last he put a blade of dry grass in his casual mouth. "Jim Nightshade," he said. The storm salesman nodded, as if he had known it all along. "Nightshade, that's quite a name." "And only fitting," said Will Halloway. "I was born 1 minute before midnight, October 30th. Jim was born 1 minute after midnight, which makes it October 31st. "Halloween," said Jim. By their voices, the boys had told the tale all their lives, proud of their mothers living house next to house, running for the hospital together, bringing sons into the world seconds apart, one light, one dark. There was a history of mutual celebration behind them. Each year, Will lit the candles on a single cake at 1 minute to midnight, Jim at 1 minute after, where the last day of the month begun, blew them out. So much, Will said, excitedly, so much Jim agreed to, silently. So much the salesman, running before the storm, but poised here uncertainly, heard, looking from face to face. "Halloway? Nightshade. No money, you say?" The man, grieved by his own conscientiousness, rummaged in his leathery bag and seized forth an iron contraption. "Take this, free. Why? One of those houses will be struck by lightning. Without this rod, bang, fire and ash, roast pork and cinders. Grab." The salesman released the rod. Jim didn't move, but Will caught the iron and gasped. "Boy, it's heavy and funny-looking. Never seen a lightning rod like this. Look, Jim!" And Jim, at last, stretched like a cat and turned his head. His green eyes got big and then very narrow. The metal thing was hammered and shaped, half-crescent, half-cross. Around the rim of the main rod, little curlicues and doohinges had been soldered on later. The entire surface of the rod was finely scratched and etched with strange languages, names that could tie the tongue or break the jaw, numerals that added to incomprehensible sums, pictographs of insect animals all bristle, chaff, and claw. "That's Egyptian," Jim pointed his nose at a bug soldered to the iron. "Scarab beetle."
"So it is, boy,"
Jim squinted.
"And those there, Phoenician hen tracks."
"Right."
"Why?"
asked Jim.
"Why?" said the man. "Why, the Egyptian, Arabic, Abyssinian..."